Sam, thank you very much tonight for those good songs of faith that inspire each and every one of us to want to live closer to our God, that someday we'll be able to live with God in glory and experience the joys of the eternal city. You know, you and I live in a world that is filled with criminology. Every day we hear about crimes taking place in America, and it's really not unusual. A violent crime back just a few years ago occurred every 26 seconds. It's probably more often than then. One murder every 36.9 minutes. One rape every 4.5 minutes. One robbery every 1.6 minutes. One aggravated assault every 42.5 seconds. One of the stories that plays out in the New Testament for all of us is a story about crime. And it is a story about a teacher and preacher and deacon in the Lord's church. His name was Stephen. You know, Stephen was chosen by the Lord's church to serve. And it wasn't long after that because of his great faith in God and his commitment to Christ, that he was stoned. That's what happens to old deacons. They are stoned, not really. But we know that in this story, Stephen really does become a martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ. But there was another young man who was standing by all of those that had gathered and decided that they were going to stone Stephen and put him to death. And by the way, there were some who said that he had a face like that of an angel. Isn't that amazing? And Paul, the apostle, who previously was known as Saul of Tarsus, was a man at that particular time who believed that what he was doing in persecuting Christians and putting them to death was the very thing that he ought to be doing. But he soon learned on the Damascus Road that God had more important things for this great evangelist to be. But the Bible says that while they were actually putting Stephen to death and stoning him, that there was a young man named Saul, the same Saul who was Saul of Tarsus and later became the great evangelist Paul, but he was guarding the clothes of those who stoned Stephen to death in Acts chapter 7. And in the beginning of Acts chapter 8, by the way, this story plays out in Acts chapter 7 and 8. You could go back and read chapter 6 right along with it if you wanted to. But we know that in chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says that Saul had given consent to what these people were doing. In other words, he believed that they were doing the right thing. Paul said one time that I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this very day. So he really believed and assumed in his own mind that God would approve his behavior and what he was doing. So you kind of get the picture here as Stephen is being stoned, that Saul is guarding the clothes of those who were putting him to death. Now, in Acts chapter 7, verse 54 to 60, I want to read this for you to kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about. When they heard these things, that is the preaching of Stephen, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. And then in verse 58, and they cast him out of the city, they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, I think it's kind of interesting how all of this kind of comes together, and God is wireworking it actually to take Saul to the next level where he would become the great evangelist, probably the greatest evangelist that really ever lived. But look in verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, and as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, those words almost sound familiar because if you were to go back and think about Jesus dying on the cross, you would say a striking similarity here. He said, receive my spirit. Jesus said, to take my spirit. Commit my spirit unto thee. And then he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You remember Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now we read further in Acts 22 and verse 20. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also, and Paul's saying this, you remember Luke had written the book of Acts. And Luke must have been with him also when you go back to the 8th chapter, verse 1 and following there. But he is saying, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. But now there is remorse in his mind over what he had done. But this was a crime scene. You know, it's hard for us to believe that such could go on. But that was their methodology of putting people to death, was either crucifying them or stoning them to death. And if you turn your back on crimes committed, you are just as guilty as those who commit them. I guess you could really call this lesson tonight, if you want to give it a title, Dwight, Guilty by Association. You know, we are guilty by association many, many times. People have asked me, said, well, how do you convert someone to Christ? I'm not saying you don't surround yourself with people that are not Christians if you're making the attempt to lead them to Christ, but to parlay with them and to take part of their evilness is wrong in the sight of Jehovah God. Paul would say, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord. There must be a distinguishing mark between those who are Christians and those who are not. There was a motel one time in Pennsylvania that let preachers stay free. I've not ever been privy to that, but anyone, one preacher, after staying at this luxurious place, was presented with a bill. He asked about preachers staying free, and they said, you just don't look like a preacher. You just don't look like one. Not only do you not look like one, you don't pray before your meals. You lit up a big black cigar, and you told jokes that were shady, and here's your bill like all the other sinners in the world. You know, God has drawn a line between that which is evil and corrupt, and that which is wholesome and that which is good. And we need to understand that. Now, Saul was mistaken here by taking the life of Stephen, and I'm sure he lamented that over and over and over. And it was very hard for him to overcome with it because he would say, I am, when he wrote to Timothy, I am the chiefest of sinners. He didn't say, I was the chiefest, but he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. But he had an accomplice with him. You know, you can be guilty of sin by associating and parlaying with sinful men. When you think about what he did, he guarded the clothes. He didn't really have a part in actually picking up stones and stoning Stephen, but he was guarding the clothes of those who had stoned him. A lot of people would say that's an innocent thing. He's not going to spend time over that. It's not going to happen. But Stephen was the first martyr in the church, according to Acts 7, 55, and verse 60. Now, when he was guarding the clothes, listen, we do not gossip and backbite each other, but we listen and enjoy hearing it, which is just as wrong, according to Proverbs 18 and verse 8 and other passages that I've lifted as well. And they become guilty, and we become guilty when we do it. When we say things about other people, disparaging remarks, and we are unkind, then we are just as guilty as others. But number two, when we do not curse and commit immorality, but we watch it on TV, and I want you to think about this, folks. You watch it on TV, it is just as wrong. And you don't render evil for evil, according to the book of Romans chapter 12. And we're not to live like the world, but we are guilty, as Saul was when he was guarding the clothes of those who stoned Stephen. Just as guilty. When I think about guarding the clothes, we do not forsake the assembly, but we make excuse for members of the family who do not come. For in the book of Hebrews 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You know, when Christ called men to follow him and come to the wedding feast, Luke chapter 14, many made all kinds of excuses why they could not come. And I suppose as a preacher of the gospel for all of the years that I've claimed the message of Christ, I guess I've heard every excuse imaginable. And people make one of excuse. The Bible says that they decided together to make excuses for their failure to come to the wedding feast. And they were just as guilty as those who did not come. Parents do not consent to their children missing services for trivial things. But Jesus said in Matthew 6 that we are to, what? Put the kingdom of God first. He must be number one in our life. And I'm afraid we're not teaching a lot of our children that the most important thing in the world is to put God first. And not just in a few things, but in everything that you do. If you don't, you're as guilty as was Saul. You are. For the Bible does say, come out from among them. Don't be like the world. Your mother always told you, don't run with the wrong crowd. At that particular time, when I was a young boy, I didn't understand what the wrong crowd was all about. They were just friends. But the wrong crowd can take you down before you can lift them up. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. But number five, we must not allow the disorderly to destroy the unity of God's family. You know, Paul prayed for unity among believers. He did. And he said, may they speak the same thing, 1 Corinthians. May they speak the same things. May there be no divisions among them, but that you all speak the same thing. But sometimes we allow the church to be destroyed and divided by those who are disorderly. And in the book of Romans 16, Paul says to mark those that cause division and avoid them. Because you can be just as guilty. You could, and you are. Guilty. And then number six. When we go along with the crowd, are we not guarding the clothes? You know, a lot of times people set their standards by what the world thinks, not by what God says, or how they feel. In other words, if they feel in their heart everything to be all right with their behavior, and their behavior is not consistent with the Word of God, you are wrong. It's as simple as that. And when you go along with the crowd, and when you go along with the world, and Paul, by the way, in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." But when we go along with the crowd, are we not doing the same thing in principle that Saul of Tarsus did? He didn't deliberately do anything like stoning Stephen, but he was an accomplice, and he was guilty by association. Guilty. You know, people don't like that word. They don't. But he guarded the clothes that made him guilty. And when we understand that, we should want to change our behavior. Guilty. Nobody likes a guilty verdict. We saw a court case play out this last week in Dallas. The young man was found guilty of stabbing another young man. And he tried to give all kinds of excuses about why he did what he did. But they didn't hold up in court. He was wrong. He was guilty. His attorney didn't like it. But there was a jury of his peers that determined that he was guilty. You and I are not going to be judged by a jury of our peers. But we're going to be judged by the great God of heaven. He will determine our innocence, or he will determine our guilt. And the message tonight is, don't be guilty by association. And if you are, how do I get rid of the guilt and the shame? I can tell you what Paul did. Paul went on to become that great evangelist, and he gave his whole life. He said, "I will spend to be spent in the service of Almighty God." And he gave his life. When he came to the end of the way, he said, "I'm ready to be offered." He said, "I've done the will of God. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. And henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not only me, but to all of them that love the appearing of Christ." Now, when God forgives us, you don't have to feel guilty. Do you know that when a person is baptized in water for the remission of sin, God takes away his guilt as well as taking away the sin? Through the years, so many people have been baptized and lived a very faithful life, and yet being emotionally drawn into a sermon, they feel that maybe I didn't do it. Maybe I didn't do it. And that can happen. When people are not really thinking about what they're doing when they are baptized. But sometimes the devil can make us feel guilty over something we should not feel guilt about. For the Bible says that the Lord God blots out our sins, Isaiah 43 and verse 25. They are blotted out by the blood of Jesus. They are erased by the eraser of God. And all I can say tonight to anyone who may be listening to this sermon, whether you're watching on the internet, we have a lot of people that regularly watch these lessons on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I'm so thankful, and we appreciate all of you that do, and appreciate all of you that are here tonight. But don't say no to God, who is calling you to take the first step to removing the guilt and the sin by rising to be baptized. Isn't that what Ananias told Saul? When he realized that he had done wrong and he is in a penitent stage, and Ananias comes to him, he'd been fasting for 3 days and praying that his sin could be removed, but it was still there. Because prayer for the non-Christian doesn't take away your sin. It takes away the sin of a Christian. when we pray. But Saul wasn't a Christian. He was in the midst of becoming one. And Ananias comes to him, he says, "And now, Saul, why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You don't have to carry the shame of your sin anymore. It has been removed just as your sin has, and you need to get rid of the guilt, and there's only one who can do that, and that is God. Maybe you need to come to Him tonight. Maybe if you're feeling guilty about something that you have done, or maybe there's something that you said and you have not been repentant over it, then hopefully tonight you would take that step that will allow God to forgive you of your sin. And if you're not a Christian, it's very simple, very easy to become a child of God by acknowledging God, first of all, that you believe in Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that you're willing to give up the sinful things of the Lord. Paul had to make a total about face. Think about it, folks. Sometimes we all have to do that to become Christians, don't we? And acknowledge Christ through a confession of your faith, and then by being baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of our sin and guilt. And the lesson is yours tonight, and the next move must be your own. And we ask that you make that step right now while we stand and while we sing.